What's going on, everybody? Today we're going to be talking to U.S. Navy SEAL veteran and founder of O2X Human Performance, Adam LaRoe. But first, I've got a few different announcements that I've got to get through. The first one is this. This podcast is sponsored by Dynatropin. Dynatropin HGH is a natural human growth hormone secretagogue. It's been developed by one of the preeminent interventional endocrinologists in the world, Dr. Mark Gordon. And the reason why he created this is because he was examining his patients and he found that one of the biggest factors that was causing a lack of performance, depression, and issues related to traumatic brain injury was lower hormonal levels. And so he wanted to create something that was affordable, but that did not have the damage-causing impact that injecting human growth hormone into your body would have. So he created Dynatropin. Dynatropin is a liposomal spray with a proprietary blend of amino acids and other factors that will naturally increase your growth hormone. Now, this isn't some bunk HGH supplement or anything like that. This product has been demonstrated in thousands of clinical cases to raise your IGF-1 and IGF-BP3 levels between 50 and 200%. I use this product every single day. I just spray a couple of sprays underneath my tongue right before bed. I get absolutely amazing sleep and I feel absolutely great. You can find it on our website at www.warriorsoulagoge.com, and it's under fitness products and supplements. Dynatropin HGH, it's probably the best supplement I've used in a while for these types of purposes. And like I said, there's a lot of bunk supplements out there on the market. This is definitely not one of them. It is absolutely amazing. Finally, this podcast episode is brought to you by Ketogenix. Ketogenix is the most optimal exogenous ketone supplement on the market. It doesn't just include exogenous ketones like beta-hydroxybutyrate, but it also includes things like acetyl-L-carnitine, which is going to help you to mobilize your own fat stores for fuel. It also includes some neurotropic factors like alpha-GPC and green tea extract, which contains L-theanine. All of these things help the ketones to cross the brain-blood barrier and give you sustained energy. If you're looking to try ketosis, but you're not ready to start a ketogenic diet, this is a great way to see what kind of benefits ketosis can give you. It's also fantastic for those of you who are just starting into a ketogenic diet. It's something that can give you lots of energy without kicking you out of ketosis. Like I said, this is the best exogenous ketone supplement on the market. There's a lot of other imitators out there, but Ketogenix has this formula down pat. So if you're looking to check this out, head over to www.realketones.com/#warriorsoul. And I'll put the link to all of these announcements in the show notes for this episode. You know, in our culture, we often like to glorify athletes. We see them oftentimes as modern-day warriors who are kind of living out that male archetype. They're battling against challenges. They're battling against the opposing team. And we look at those who succeed sometimes as heroes. You know, the average career span of somebody who plays in the NFL is around 3.3 years. But today's conversation is about a different type of athlete, the tactical athlete. Those who really are real heroes, those who protect us while we sleep, those who look over us and look over our safety while we're walking out on the streets. those who put their lives on the line every single day. And they don't just do it for a span of 3.3 years. A lot of times, they're doing it for several decades. Today's guest is a gentleman named Adam LaRoe. Adam is a U.S. Navy SEAL veteran, and he's one of the founders of O2X Human Performance. Adam and his partners have created a program for first responders, police and firefighters, to learn tactical fitness. Now, this doesn't just include training. They go through absolutely everything from breathing techniques to mobility to strength training, of course, and on into things like mobility and even participating in yoga. They look at nutrition and factors that are going to keep our first responders in the game for the long haul, because there's a lot that goes into making sure that a tactical athlete can endure for a 30-year career. This was an absolutely amazing conversation with Adam. He's based out of Boston, but he takes his crew around the country to give classes and workshops to first responders. And at the end of this, he offers a special 8-week program that you can download offline. And we're going to have the link to that here in the show notes. You'll be able to download it at o2x.com/register. And all show notes for this episode can be found at www.warriorsoulagoge, that's agoge.com/blogs/podcast/episode43. And with that, let's get into episode 43 of the Warrior Soul Podcast with Adam LaRoe of O2X Human Performance. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What's going on, everyone? This is Chris Albert with the Warrior Soul Podcast. Andrew is not with us today. He's actually headed out here. He's moving out to California from Texas. So he'll be with us next week. But I'm here today with Adam LaRoe of O2X Performance. And you're out of Boston, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Awesome. I'm from New England myself. I'm from Connecticut.
What part of Connecticut?
Norwalk.
Okay, all right. I'm originally from New Jersey, so I grew up in, right outside the city.
Yeah, my mom's from Union City, North Bergen.
Okay, yeah, and I grew up in Nutley, New Jersey.
Nice, man. Nice. Outstanding. Adam, for everybody at home, we brought you on today. You're a good friend of one of our other guests here, Kevin Flank. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm the co-founder of O2X Human Performance. So we are a tactical athlete, education and training company. We train police, fire, military, EMS, Department of Correction. Dabble a little bit into professional sports, working with the Chicago Blackhawks and some other professional sport teams. But primarily we focus on our education program to get tactical athletes and first responders to get to a high level performance and sustain that level performance over the duration of their career. Training tactical athletes is a little different. It's a 30-year career. Unlike an NFL football player, it's about 3.5 years. I mean, we have to train differently. So it's all about sustainability to us.
Yeah, and I tell you, when you get up, I'm in my late 30s now. I just turned 38 last week. And, lot slower, less explosive than I used to be. So,
yeah, I'm 37. Period. Not trying to admit it.
Absolutely. So how'd you get into this? Where'd you start with this? What, you were in the Navy SEALs for a bit.
I can give a little bit about my background. So I said we grew up in New Jersey. Grew up playing sports, loved it. Grew up powerlifting, did a lot of the competitions. Nice. and things like that. So just love to compete. Always wanted to serve my country, just like a lot of veterans out there. You know, just that desire to serve was pretty high. Wanted to go to a military academy. Lucky enough to get picked up for the Merchant Marine Academy. So I went to a Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York, where I got my commission and, you know, entered the military in 2002. When I went out to Buds in class 243, and lucky enough to kind of make it out to the East Coast and have some great experiences. I did about 11 and a half years. Got out in August of 2013, and I went to Harvard Kennedy School, and I focused there. I had to get a master's of public administration there. Mm-hmm. And really, I was focused on social entrepreneurship, so I was making the transition. I was definitely looking to, you know, another challenge, something too that I was passionate about, and took, you know, helping others and, you know, health and fitness and wellness and really just kind of merged those worlds together and created O2X Human Performance with a couple of close friends, one of which who I served with in the military.
Very cool. That's always an outstanding thing when you take somebody who you served with and somebody you have a background with and somebody you trust and be able to start a business with them.
Yeah, his name is Paul, and we served like our entire time together. So pretty much all our rotations, all our deployments, things like that. So, you know, I think we always say it was either a human performance company or a brewery. So this one just came up first.
That's pretty awesome. So how do you define human performance? What do you go for when you talk about human performance?
So definitely like a multi-disciplinary approach, right? So, you know, it's mind, body, emotion. You know, for us, it's a fusion of all those worlds. So our pillars of human performance are sleep, nutrition, conditioning, resilience, and stress management. So kind of merging all those worlds, knowing that, hey, listen, they all have to be weighted equally. You can't have one without the other. And you got to, train from the inside out. And that's what we look at when we're training tactical athletes. We're training people from the inside out, very preventative in nature, focus on the mind just as much as we focus on the body. Everything from injury prevention to mental performance and readiness, blood sugar stabilization, optimizing energy levels, hydration. Talk about the tougher side, due to the nature of the job and the stress, mm-hmm. Whether it's at home or at work, kind of sustaining that for that long period of time for 20, 30 years, it's something that you got to manage to optimize that performance for a long career. And at the end, our end game is to have you finish your career as strong as you started and enjoy that retirement that everyone deserves that are in this field.
That's a huge concept, I think, in resilience, because we look at just everyday people, not let alone first responders, but everyday people, walking around and trying to be active into their older years. And this is what I tell everybody. When you think about fitness, it really shouldn't just be about how you look, because everybody's concerned about dropping pounds, losing weight, getting a set of abs and things like that. But when you talk about fitness, it's really about freedom. You know, how long do you want to be able to do what you're doing? And how long do you want to be moving around unimpeded without limitations?
Yeah. And we talk a lot about our like performance versus fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we're training for performance, let's just take a firefighter, for example, or any kind of tactical athlete, but hey, you're wearing heavy loaded gear, you're in asymmetrical positions, you're uneven terrain, you're in extreme environments. You have to have a speed, strength, endurance. You know, there's all these different factors in your needs analysis. that we want to put together so you can perform at your job. Because we've all know that, like, there's people that are deemed like extremely fit that might not be able to perform, right? If you train for performance, you will get fit. If you train for fitness, depending on your job, you may not be able to perform at that task, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see first responders making or tactical athletes making when, you know, when they're out there on their own? What are some of the biggest things that screw them up?
Either not training enough or training too much. Mm-hmm. It's like really extremes. You got the group that's, you know, overtraining, that just hitting it hard, you know, all the time. We see this a lot in the military, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, go harder, go faster. And not that we don't encourage, you know, pushing the envelope, but, it really is, understanding about rest and recovery, understanding that, hey, listen, especially the young, we do a lot of training at the academies and stuff, mm-hmm. Like fire and police academies, things like that. And, you know, you gotta save the young guys from themselves.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be like, hey, listen, everything's feeling fine right now, your shoulders, your lower back, your knees, but that's because you can recover. But this wear and tear now is going to have an impact down the road. You just don't know it yet, but, you know, especially for some of the firefighters that are doing a lot of overhead work, you know, and you just say, hey, listen, you're bound for a rotator cuff or a labrum injury at some point or another. I need to help get you with a sound foundation, sound principles now of the prehabilitation techniques, you know, the dynamic warm up, the proper recovery, understanding about rest, nutrition, you know, those things that you can kind of get away with a little bit when you're younger. But if you build those good habits up front, that's better. So you got that extreme. And then we also have the other extreme that, you know, people that, you know, that, you know, may have PT'd in the past or worked out in the past, and maybe didn't know a lot, and for whatever reason, they just don't want to work out anymore, you know. And it could be the fact that they're in a leadership position now, and, you know, they're very experienced about their job, but maybe not as experienced, or, you know, really want to encourage others in their department to work out or exercise because they haven't done it in so long. We have people come through our course that, you know, I've heard as of recently that I haven't worked out since 1978.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And that person is a leader in a, you know, pretty large, you know, fire department. And and that's alarming. And, you know, what we do, we're very encouraging. You know, we're not thrashing or beating anybody here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hitting all these small little pillars. It's, you know, weight control, it's energy management, it's injury prevention technique. So as much as I want them to follow a periodization program for a tactical athlete, I just got to get them moving and confident enough to get back in the game.
It's funny because, you know, when I first went into the military in the 90s, you know, prior to that, I'd been lifting weights, but it was like hit the beach, you know, kind of lifting weights where I was focusing on the bodybuilding stuff. And that's pretty much what people did in the military too at that point. You know, there wasn't a lot of people doing functional stuff aside from running distance, and even the physical fitness tests, up until recently, now the Marine Corps has the CFT, but, you know, back then just the pull-ups, the crunches and the 3-mile run. And then the rest was just, hey, let's go do some curls and triceps extensions, you know, maybe some squats if we're feeling good. But it seems like there's so much more knowledge out there now about getting into this type of functional fitness and, you know, keeping yourself from having those types of overuse injuries that I was getting back then, because I wasn't seeing to things like, you know, balancing out my shoulders and making sure that I was getting good external rotation and, you know, making sure that my rear delts were kept up with my front deltoids, you know, there's so many different aches and pains that I could have avoided if I had knew back then what I know now, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's why the education component is so critical. If people know why, then they're more likely to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. If they understand, if they're thinking like, you know, if I have someone who's like fatigued, chronically fatigued every day, you know, at like 1 or 2 o'clock, you got to ask that, you want them to ask that question, like why, and think through that. Is it, hey, did I not get enough rest last night? Did I over caffeinate? Am I not hydrated? You know, what's my reaction time? Why am I feeling this fatigued? Is there a, you know, nutrition component behind it? Is there a stress component? So it's almost, the ability to self-correct is the first step towards mastering something. And really we're trying to get them to understand why. And that's what we run a 4-day, 4 and 5 day workshops. And that's what it's all about. Just kind of go deep on the education.
What's the average age of somebody who goes through your programming?
Oh, it ranges. So we've had 45 and older classes, and then we've had academy classes with 25 and under. So we see the spectrum. We've had police and firefighters 2 months away from retirement that essentially are worried about, listen, I don't want to have a heart attack and die, because that happens a lot when people retire.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and then you got the young guys. But I'd say if I have to average it out, I'd say with the young and old, there's probably like the median. Median's probably somewhere late 30s, early 40s.
And somebody comes into your class, typically what is a day going to look like?
So it kicked off at, I can walk through the whole schedule, actually. Coming in that first day, usually these guys are selected by their departments. We run two different types. We run like a regional. Some departments, like let's say we work with Boston Fire. It's like 1,550 firefighters. But then there's also like a small police department or – a small tactical unit that has like, 30 or 40 people, and they're going to put in a couple people at a time. So we have a regional model where, a lot of departments and a lot of tactical athletes from the region come. And then we have like ones that we run solely for a specific unit or department. So they're kind of organic to them. So people enter our course, usually a wide range of ages. They check in, they hear about O2X human performance, kind of like our methodology that is an evidence and science-based program. We talk about our methodology, we have about 40 human performance specialists, a little bit of expectation management for the week. Like, hey, we're not here, despite anything that you've heard, we're not here to crush you here. We're trying to give you the tools to succeed and finish your career as strong as you started. We have this proprietary human performance assessment. So it's like, I always call it, it's like the Strengths Finder or Myers-Briggs for human performance. So it's about 5 to 7 minutes. You take it, it generates like a 10-page report on you. And we can collate all those answers and generate an organizational report. So, there's a lot of people can find out, like a lot of leaders can find organizationally, how's the health or department and what changes could you make to make to kind of fix things and prevent a lot of these injuries, mental, physical stresses, and things like that. So it's usually a pretty eye-opening tool. Go right into a workout, and I know that's something that, we kind of do a little assessment on everybody, making sure everybody's mobility. Everyone's got a different training age, a training age being like, I'm sure you heard the terminology before, it's someone could be 50 years old and have a training age of 2, and someone could be, 30 and been a college athlete, yep, and have a training age of 15, right? Mm-hmm. So you have this wide range of experiences there. So, pretty, basic sweat, we call it. When we get finished with that, we go into a classroom session, which we talk about human performance philosophy and development. Like, what are good programs of human performance? What does a science and evidence-based program look like? In the afternoon, we do a lot of movement and technique, like lifting techniques, talking about picking things up, putting things down, mm-hmm, how to properly jump, how to properly land, pressing things overhead. And then we get into programming so people understand why. Not that they're going to go out, because there's a science and there's an art behind, good tactical athlete programming, but for them to understand how to properly program, like a conditioning program, understanding the needs analysis, the time that they have, the restrictions of equipment, and that's pretty much a day one. Day two, we talk about injury causation, why injuries happen and how to prevent them. We talk about properly preparing before each workout, with the prehabilitation, the anatomical alignment, the pillar prep, the core activation, the glute activation. And then we go through proper recovery, whether it's foam roller, static stretching. We go through all those movements in a very practical session. We show them like, hey, quick, like a quick team workout, because a lot of them work in teams. So we do a quick team workout and just give them some fundamentals behind doing that. Mm-hmm. In the afternoon of the second day, we do mental performance and readiness. So we talk about optimizing mindsets. We talk about really the psychology behind it. We implement M-Waves, which is, you know, the heart rate variability machines, how to self-regulate and how to get to that peak level performance, all the way through developing better situational awareness and, better concentration, better situational awareness, and even effective debriefing. Day three, we talk about yoga. We actually go through a whole yoga and IRS yoga nidra session. Usually people are really kind of thrown off, like, how's yoga going to fit into this? I think some of us have seen the benefits. Most people that come to our course have never gone through it, and almost 100% have never done the IRES component, which is just learning, like, the good tips and tricks and techniques to actually, you know, kind of fall asleep, have more restful sleep and relaxation. And so we do a practical session for about 45 minutes. We kind of talk on day three after that session, we talk a little bit about the stress factors of high-risk jobs. You got a high-risk job, you know, what are the factors at work? What are the factors at home? And then we talk into some of the deeper side of things, like, you know, the PTS versus PTSD, understanding, you know, signs, symptoms, stress, anxiety, how to manifest in the body. And we kind of talk a little bit about that, about just being a good teammate. The afternoon of that day three, we have a footwear selection. People don't really know. They just, like, get the coolest thing on the shelf, right? Like, the best color, and, you know, they try it on, they see if it goes, and they just go with it, you know? So they don't really understand, hey, you know, there's different footwear for different activities. We do gait analysis with everybody in there, and we make sure, and they also learn boots a lot. So we kind of talk about insoles, things like that. And then something that's, you know, kind of different that we implement parkour.
We have awesome.
We got some parkour and movement training in there. You know, obviously talk about the proprioception and be able to kind of manipulate your body and move and what that foundation, that energy transfer. So we do, we have some parkour athletes that come in as a part of our team that kind of teach about that. And then the final day, day four, we go through and we talk about sleep performance, sleep hygiene, sleep performance. We talk about the importance of the recovery. We talk about shift work. You know, obviously that's challenging for a lot of people, you know, dealing with the shift work. And then the rest of the day, we go into, like, the basics of nutrition, performance nutrition, meal planning, and once in a while, we even throw in some healthy cooking there at the end. So it's a pretty packed 4 day from, like, 7:30 to 4 for 4 days straight, but it's a great course.
Yeah, there's so much in there that I want to talk about now. Seems like a very, very cool course. You know, the first thing that the movement I'm seeing a lot more movement programming coming out now, and, you know, the parkour and the doing things like lizard walks or getting your body to move in a different way. How does that translate over to what these guys do? And reason why I say that is because to some people, it might not be immediately apparent, you know, that if they don't move their body, they're opening themselves up for more of an injury. But how do you guys convey this to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to think. I mean, initially they come in and, you know, they're like, okay, you know, they see some guys in, like, maybe longer hair with some man buns and stuff like yep. that, and some tight sweatpants. They're like, what's going on?
Lots
today?
Of hippies over in the parkour.
O2X just got weird, you know. But they get it right away. You know, these guys are, you know, we run it, like, very tight, very professional, very organized. And, you know, talk about foot dexterity, you know, developing fine motor control, perception with landings and foot placement, to be able to look at a spot and be able to effectively put your foot there. Now, you take a lot of the tactical group, a lot of people are getting hurt just getting on and off the truck. Say you're like a firefighter. Yeah. I mean, you do 22 calls a day, right? Maybe say in Boston, for example, you might do 22 calls a day. So you're getting on and off that truck, like, how many times, right? Yeah. And then you're doing it with gear, and you're doing it, you know, at least 8 times a month. And you do that how many times, you know, over the year, and then times that by, you know, a 30-year career. You're talking about, you know, being able to control, like, ascending and descending, climbing up and down, you know, vaulting over things when appropriate. So we kind of talk a lot about just being able to manipulate your body through the environment that you're in. And that's what it's all about. And people get that. You know, by the end of that group, the people are like, you know what, this is actually, you know, this is something that's attainable, and it's directly applicable to what I'm doing.
That's awesome. And as far as the yoga stuff that you do, do you go over breathing technique and things like that?
Yeah. So we hit breathing a few times in the course, right? And there's a bunch of different breathing techniques, you know, I mean, really, we're just trying to emphasize the value and give them a bunch of tools to put in their toolbox. And some people gravitate to some other tools, and they, you know, pick and choose what they do, right? Like, you know, they have the ability of, you know, you're a breacher, right?
You said? No, that was Andrew. I'm the Marine. Andrew was the Special Forces guy.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's many tools to get through a door, yeah. You know, get in. So, you know, kind of pick what tool is, like, you know, appropriate for you, and pick what tool out of the toolbox, right? Uh-huh. So, you know, these guys, you know, the breathing techniques, we handle it in the self-regulation when we have those M waves. Mm-hmm. So we do with the heart rate variability, and we actually have them, you know, put the sensor on their ear, and then we can show, you know, their, you know, basically beat to beat. And then we can show through science. So you get more, the reason why we do it, you get more buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the science in front of them and you can show someone who's kind of like irregular that, and they can also kind of smooth that out and can kind of control and get themselves in the green, mm-hmm. then, it, you know, people are like, okay, I've seen the physiological benefits proven to me in science sitting in this classroom. You know, there's things that you can do on a tactical, when I say tactical level, I mean, you think like in the moment that mm-hmm. you can do to control that and to perform at higher levels. And then there's things that you can do on day to day to deal with more like the chronic stress component. Does that make sense, Chris? Like the,
yep.
the moment versus the, you know, the chronic component. So we talk about breathing during yoga. We talk about breathing during the mental performance. And then we talk about breathing during like more of like the mindfulness drills that we do in the stress management portion of our course.
One thing I just want to explain for the people at home, when we're talking about heart rate variability, we're talking about measuring the space between the beats of the heart. And a lot of people think that it should be like beat, 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 beat. It should be a steady beat. But actually, you want a lot of variability between those types of beats. And if you have low heart rate variability, it actually, you can measure whether or not you're going to be more likely to get injured, whether or not, you know, it's going to be a good day, a bad day, a whole bunch of different things. And do you have your guys measure this stuff throughout the class?
Yeah, we do it. Yeah, we do it throughout the class. I'll even implement it during workouts.
Wow.
And so, you know, will I have people hooked up, mm-hmm. and then like, you can see them like kind of, I don't want to say red line, but obviously get out of, you know, kind of be a little bit irregular there, right? And then kind of get back to the green, control their breathing, slow down. So we do that a few times during the class, just to kind of prove the value yeah. of that.
It's a really good, you know, way of determining whether somebody's overtraining or not, too, or whether they need recovery, whether they're missing something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, it really is, you know, good techniques, but that's one way. I mean, when you're talking about breathing, you know, it depends on, you know, we definitely recognize the crowd. I think there's a little bit of, you know, with our backgrounds in the military and stuff, that like, you know, we try to be, I'd say, you know, culturally competent, you know, to kind of understand a little bit what those, you know, the fire police officers, what the SWAT teams, the tactical units are doing. And hey, listen, we're not teaching skill-based stuff, but we're talking about taking care of yourself. You know, and kind of getting back to what you guys are doing about living the, you know, the biggest, best, you know, boldest life you can, you know, mm-hmm. and all these guys, they chose a path less traveled, right? They're the heroes that are out there protecting us every day, and I have a higher amount of respect for them. Anything that we can do to kind of help them perform at their job, come back to their family safely every day, and do it again and again for 30 years and just be able to enjoy that retirement is what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that being in the military was one thing, but being out there every single day, in some ways, I think being a police officer is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. You know, not being able to tell in certain situations what you're stepping into, and it's really breaks my heart sometimes when I see some of the YouTube videos go out there about situations that went bad and where police officers didn't have the training they probably needed to get through that situation and be okay. It's really awesome that there's something out there for these guys to start to train, because if you're not taking care of yourself through these types of situations, you know, at some point something's going to break down.
Absolutely agree. I mean, I don't think it's probably one of the toughest times. The environment's getting more challenging and more challenging, for all the tactical athletes, you know. I mean, it's becoming, there's no mistakes allowed, right? So let's optimize, everything that we can do to, it's human nature. I mean, mistakes are going to happen, but let's put everybody in the right physical, mental, emotional state to do their jobs at the best of their ability and mitigate any of that type of stuff, And really interesting too is we're taking care of the first and foremost, we care about the people, right? But there's also a cost implication on this too, right? That for, municipalities and people, I mean, we frequently deal with mayors and we have conversations. It's just like the health cost, the increased level of injuries. A heart attack alone is about $250,000 to $400,000. The health crisis in the fire service right now, cancer and cardiac disease is like extremely high. In Boston alone, one active firefighter gets diagnosed with cancer every 3 weeks because, I mean, Chris, they're working like a chemical plant, essentially.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, everything now that's like flame retardant. And you can't see it, but if something's burning in a house, those carcinogens are killing firefighters. The cardiac disease, the cancer rate, I mean, you're talking about, the expense and then the injuries, whether you get a shoulder injury or a knee injury, you're talking about $40,000 to $50,000 a piece. I mean, you can easily rack up millions of dollars in health costs, and not to mention, you're also, it's not sustainable as a force, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on the injury rate, I mean, you get some good people going out. It's not a good thing.
Yeah. And it's not a very good recruitment tool either to get the best that you can. If people keep falling out and people keep hearing about it, hearing about high cancer rates and things like that. I want to ask you, mainly because of this high cancer rate and the high injury rate and the heart attacks, what types of things do you guys recommend as far as nutrition? Any specifics there that you could give me?
So three things. Nutrition can get complex quick, right? Yeah, I mean, that's something that, there's so many different things out there, and we try to just like dispel all kind of rumors or fads. And we basically talk about quality, quantity, and timing, like the quality of the food. It doesn't matter all these different diets and things, but the end that comes back is like eat nutrient dense foods, mm-hmm. right? We try to steer people away from like classifying foods as good and bad. There's some that have more nutritional value than others, right? Mm-hmm. We're also kind of developing something that's sustainable, knowing that, hey, listen, to go in and tell everybody you got to eat a chicken salad every single day and go through you're counting grapes and almonds as much as like, hey, I'm all about, eating clean and lean, but you got to do something that's sustainable too. Yeah. Right. So we talk about the quality of the food, the quantity, the food for the activity that you're doing, and then the timing that you eat it. So it's all about blood sugar stabilization, getting the right balance and optimizing your energy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest things that I always tell people is that the paradigm does not make the diet. So if you are doing a vegan diet, a keto diet, a paleo diet, the only two things that really matter are if the food's nutritionally dense and digestible. Because if it's not nutritionally dense, you're not getting the micronutrients that you need to fight off the inflammation, which is going to cause the heart attacks and the injuries. And then if it's not digestible, then it's going to cause more inflammation than needs be. That's pretty cool. Do you ever talk about things like neural protectants? You know, a lot of these guys have a significant danger of you know, brain injury and things like that. Do you ever talk about ways of reducing the possibility of sustaining one of these types of injuries or fighting off the types of inflammation that are going to cause cancer and heart attacks and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's made because, you know, through our human performance program, we really talk about that complete approach. So everything that we hit, I mean, we, especially when it comes to like the nutrition, the sleep, the stress management, the injury prevention, the conditioning, the aerobic capacity component, like we talk about, hey, listen, all these things overlap. Mm-hmm. And talk about why these major diseases and inflammation and things happen. A lot of the, like we talk about pain, you know, pain versus injuries, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, talk about a lot of the pain that people are having, the chronic pain versus something that's acute. So we do discuss, a lot of those things and how it ties over. We have a couple medical doctors that come in throughout the workshop. And talk about the demographic and the likelihood of what they see. We have a couple unique, specialists there. You know, one was a former firefighter that now is an MD. So he's seen the culture, and then he's also the primary care physician for a lot of these guys. So he's able to kind of like, you know, describe it, characterize it. He's been in their shoes and, it's pretty powerful when you kind of see the inside and we're discussing all these things. But between our registered dietitians, our sports psychs, our sleep doctors, our strength and conditioning coaches, our PTs, ATs, they're all there kind of, tackling these tough problems that are plaguing, the tactical athlete communities.
That's something else you mentioned there too, the blood sugar stabilization. I don't think people realize the impact that blood sugar has on their behavior on a daily basis. It can definitely affect the decisions that you make. It can affect, whether how alert you're going to be. It can affect, whether or not you're going to use force or not in a lot of different ways. They've actually studied judicial sentencing, and they found that if a judge had not eaten prior to giving the sentence and his blood sugar was low, he was more likely to give a much harsher sentence.
Wow.
There's some crazy stuff related to that.
I mean, I believe, you're putting too many, overeating or putting too many calories. I actually see that kind of a lot, and not in a funny way, like Thanksgiving we're talking about, but people just don't know what's appropriate for the activity level. Mm-hmm. That they're doing. I think that's a mistake that personally I made a lot in the military, that I just either I overate or underate, I would see like my early in the week, I was probably restricting, not like I was counting calories, but restricting calories. I wasn't putting enough in, to perform at my highest levels and optimize my energy. And then towards the end of the week, I was overdoing it. So to kind of understand like, hey, too many per meal, your blood sugar spikes, you're going to store fat, mm-hmm. You skip a meal, restrict, which a lot of people do. Like breakfast is one of those things that we beat people up on all the time. Yeah. Like you got to eat breakfast. You got to help me out here. The hydration, when you wake up, you could be 2%, 1 to 2% dehydrated, and 2 to 3% dehydrated. Your reaction time is exactly the same if you had 3 drinks of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty alarming, right? Especially with a job that, requires you to, do some pretty, challenging things. And it definitely affects your cognitive function. Same thing with the eating in the morning. Some people are just like, I'm not hungry. Like, I'm not hungry when I get up. I'm not hungry. I just want to go work out or not work out or, just go about my day, have a cup of coffee. I mean, you could, we encourage people like, hey, if you got to start with a quarter piece of like protein bar, then do it. Like, start small, eventually build up that appetite. You know, we got to get you to, you know, kind of optimize that energy, and you're going to feel better for it. You know, skipping a meal, restricting calories, you know, you're just going to drop your blood sugar, and you're going to end up burning muscle, holding on to fat, and having low energies, which none of those things are good.
Yeah. Similarly, I think if you have like a donut or something like that in the morning, and it spikes your blood sugar, and then insulin, you know, sends your blood sugar into a plummet by the afternoon, you're going to be feeling it pretty badly too then. That's something I used to do when I was in the military. I'd have to, when we're out in the field, I'd be eating that MRE pound cake for breakfast.
Oh yeah.
That thing's great. It tasted so good. Oh my God. But I mean, usually by afternoon I was trying to rub Copenhagen into my eyes to try to stay awake or something, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, how long people do it, I mean, you're pretty much having people not even close to being in the zone, right? You have people spiking and crashing, like, all day long. So a lot of people, like, you know, talk about those energy levels, or I'm tired, or, you know, we're definitely encouraging naps if you can take it, depending on how long and how often they happen, but... You know, a lot of times it's like the tiredness that's happened is due to like dehydration or just like not stabilizing your blood sugar.
And additionally, when we're talking about resilience, and this is something that one of our other guests, Dr. Mark Gordon, talks about. I don't know if you're familiar with his work with the Warrior Angels Foundation, but, you know, they're looking at PTS and a lot of the PTS-like symptoms from traumatic brain injury. He's actually finding more and more that a lot of it's related to brain inflammation. And the more that we don't stabilize our blood sugar, don't take care of our nutrition, the big thing we talked about in your program with resiliency, if you're not taking care of yourself, then you are hurting your resiliency and you are making it more likely that, say, you do get a traumatic brain injury or say you do run into a traumatic event, that you're going to suffer mentally down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, man. And as far as hydration, you mentioned the reduced reaction time with lower hydration rates. Is that a huge problem right now with firefighters and police officers?
Yeah, I think in the general population, no one's drinking enough water for the activity level. I'd say every part of this job, depending on where you're working, I mean, if you're in Arizona versus, you know, Boston in the wintertime or somewhere in New England, or if you're a firefighter, and your body core is like over, 100 degrees here, you're sweating profusely because you're in a pretty extreme environment. You're chasing somebody, things like that. I mean, there's all different levels, but people are usually, what I see primarily is that, as a population as a whole, the tactical athlete population is not drinking enough water. You know, they're not starting their day off right. They're, you know, who knows when the last time they had water before they went to sleep. And then, you know, they wake up in the morning, they're not having any, they have a cup of coffee, they may have a sip of water, they may go PT, they're not hydrating properly enough, and which is causes, for one, a huge dip. The number one cause of daytime fatigue is dehydration. Right. And then, you know, the reaction time, if people knew what your reaction time was, based on that, those levels, I mean, it is similar to like, there's a study out there that's similar to like, you know, if you're 2 to 3% dehydrated, your reaction time is the same as if you had 3 drinks of alcohol.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's insane. As far as we got a lot of younger guys who are either fresh into the military right now. Or they're young police officers, or they're thinking about becoming police officers, or they're thinking about going into the military. What types of advice would you give to somebody who's, say, you know, 17, 18 years old and thinking about beginning a career as somebody in the military or as a first responder?
Taking care of yourself, the number one priority. I think the Special Operations Command had a pretty good slogan for a while there. It's the humans, not the hardware, right?
Yeah.
It's something that you need to, if you don't take care of yourself, you don't take care of your life, whether it's at work or off work, it affects every aspect of it. You know, life in the job that they chose is honorable. It's it will be challenging. If it's not in the beginning, they will face challenges due to the nature of their job. And you know, yeah, I'd say from a health and wellness perspective, is that, you know, you need to think about your factors of your performance. You know, whether it's, you know, training properly, conditioning properly for your job, understanding more about nutrition, getting proper sleep, and probably things that the young 17 and 18 year old don't or maybe too embarrassed to talk about, is just like being able to take care of your mind. I think we all know that, you know, you're 38, I'm 37. I think that we know that our mind is way more powerful than we ever thought. You know, the resilience that is needed, the challenge that they're going to face, things that they're going to overcome, the things that they're going to do or see, all that stuff is that, you know, don't, you know, there's no shame in taking care of your mind. I mean, professional athletes do it all the time. Olympic training, special operations soldiers do this. I mean, training the mind is just as important as training the body, and don't leave that part out of your training.
I want to switch gears here a little bit and kind of talk about how you got into entrepreneurship when you got out of the military, and what kind of led you to want to be an entrepreneur in the first place.
Well, I think a lot of it was, you mentioned my close friend of mine that, you know, started this company with O2X, and we talked about starting a company for our entire duration in the military. And I think it's a product is that, you know, a lot of the times in the military, I mean, you're kind of kicking stones over, and you're out in front of, you're discovering problems that there's no solutions for, right? And that you have to be entrepreneurial. You know the deal, like being in the Marines, like, you know, you kind of only got what you got, so you got to figure it out, right? And so I think it develops an entrepreneur. I think that's why you see veterans all the time going into the entrepreneurial space and, you know, starting their own companies. I think the risk that would necessarily scare a lot of people, or the analysis, I think that they're looking at it and they say, you know what, I'd like to compete in this space, or I can start my own company, or I know what right looks like, and I think I can develop a better product or service. And I think the nature of, like, the last, you know, since 2001 has left, you know, it has challenged the veteran community, challenged the military and the armed forces, where, you know, guys are very entrepreneurial, they're very crafty. There's an ounce of grit. There's a lot of grit and perseverance, and, you know, they want to try their hand at it. That's kind of really what inspired, you know, kind of inspired me. You know, I always wanted to start my own company, and it's exciting to kind of be in the private sector now. And, you know, kind of our company's been around for O2X Human Performance has been around for 3 years now, mm-hmm. And it's exciting. We got, you know, we have 40 plus specialists, and, you know, I got, you know, 12 full time. We're actually hiring for a external sales guy right now, or girl, anybody that's potentially interested. You know, we're looking for someone to, you know, to help us. And I love the fact that we can bring veterans on it and, you know, build a culture, build a team. It's exciting. There's other challenges that are out there that are different than the military. There's a lot of other challenges and frustrations and things like that, but, you know, it's exciting, and I would not change. I highly recommend it to, you know, the, you know, guys transitioning out and making the leap to the scariest place on earth, which is the civilian world.
It is the scariest place on earth. Trust me on that. for you guys at home, I mean, as far as you know, and I tell people this all the time. When you're being in the military was like the best time of my life, and I say that because I was young. I got to travel around the world. I didn't have to worry about rent. I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear every single day. didn't have to worry about a whole lot of stuff. I was surrounded by friends and aside from deployments and things like that, really wasn't that bad. It was pretty freaking cool. The civilian world is different in that you really have to take that kind of discipline that you had in the military, and you have to have that same kind of discipline, but with nobody looking over your shoulder, especially if you're going to be an entrepreneur. Because there's nobody who's going to tell you to optimize your website. There's nobody who's going to tell you to start a marketing campaign, or who's going to tell you to make sure that you have good customer service. You got to do all that stuff yourself, man. And sometimes that's the scariest thing of all.
Yeah. There's also finding great people, they're out there, but I mean, in the military, you're completely surrounded by, people that had your back all the time, right? Mm-hmm. The trust, the camaraderie, the loyalty that's there. I mean, I think that's, kind of stepping out. It's, you gotta create your own new team. You gotta take those values that you cherished and kind of instill them in your organization, the people that you're around.
Absolutely. What was your biggest challenge in getting O2X off the ground?
Yeah, for one, the technology side, there's so many skill sets that you don't have, like building websites or like the things that you just mentioned, like social media. Like we're still like social media. I mean, it was funny. We had an intern who was a high school student. He was going into the military. So he was a senior in high school, and I'm riding the T, and I'm hearing two people having a conversation about Instagram. And so I walk in. This actually wasn't that long ago, embarrassingly enough. And I walk in. I said, "Hey, I think there's this thing called Instagram, and I think we should." It sounded like it was a pretty big deal on social media. It was a good marketing tool. And I can just see him put his head down, and he's just shaking his head. He's like, "Yeah." So there's some certain things that you just don't get exposed to. And technology, social media, but you can find those people. Yeah. If you have to go out and, fundraise for your company or, kind of meeting new people, building relationships, it's all fun and they're all different challenges, but those types of challenges of starting your own company, I mean, and you're starting with a blank canvas. So, I mean, everything, all the infrastructure, the background, I think, depending on what kind of a business you have, I'm sure for you guys, like it was getting your first couple of podcasts under you, right? Taking those lessons learned and building and improving every single time. Like there's a fun component, mm-hmm. but there's a challenging component to that too. You want to do it at a rapid pace. Like you always want to continue to improve.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, especially at the beginning, you can't be embarrassed to put something out there. And that means that sometimes you're going to put stuff out there that might not be the your best work, right? But you got to get it out there just to get it out there. And what I mean by that is like when I started this podcast, the first 10 episodes were just me reading out of a book and talking about what I was reading. The reason why I did that was because I wanted to do a podcast. I didn't have the connections to get guests yet or anything like that. And then, slowly but surely people started listening to it. They liked what I had to say. And then, we started getting guests and I'm here today talking to you. We just had Gary Tobbs on, who's a New York Times bestseller. We had Chris Bell, the creator of Prescription Thugs. I think the moral of the story is never be afraid to do anything. Even if you're going to screw up, you'll learn from those screw ups, man. You'll learn from every mistake and you might be a little bit embarrassed about it, but everything comes around if you stay consistent and you keep going with it.
Yeah, I think, you're right. Like test a little, learn a lot, right? Yep. You're kind of testing, learning, adapting, getting better. I think that's right. I think, having the courage to just get out there and mix it up, because there's a million reasons. If you look at entrepreneurship, there's a million reasons. Any business, I don't care what idea it is, what service, what industry, there's a million reasons why you should do it, right?
Right.
And there's a million people that'll tell you all those million reasons why you shouldn't do it. But if you're passionate about what you do, You're fired up about it. You can get other people fired up about it. You believe in it. Give it a go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you guys take O2X Human Performance on the road? Do you do tours, classes in different cities, things like that, or is it mainly based in Boston?
No, we do all over the country.
Awesome. And what are your next the next few cities you're going to be visiting?
We'll be down in Florida. We'll be in Portland, Maine. We might be down in D.C., Montana, and then hopefully pushing out to the West Coast soon. But you know, it's really just the any fire department, police, military, just reach out at adam@o2x.com, and we'll send some people out there to have a conversation.
Awesome. And I know you have a website. Do you hang out on Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, we're at O2X. So we did get an Instagram account.
I noticed that this morning.
at O2X Human Performance for Instagram, Twitter, and then Facebook. So we're on all those channels. We got some YouTube stuff up there as well with some of our videos. And then O2X.com, O is in like oxygen. There's, you know, a bunch of information about workshops, our virtual program. One thing we didn't mention, we have a mobile app. So we give everybody a quick body weight workout every day and a tactical athlete workout. Mm-hmm. We have a nutrition recipe, a team recipe of the week. And then we also have a mental performance drill every single day. So we have like roughly about 7 pieces of content coming at people every day, but it's really through the departments that we work with, the tactical athletes union. It's not something that you can download it online, but there'd be nothing there because we control all the stuff on the back end. But one thing that I'd like to give everybody listening though is that one of our 8-week tactical athlete training programs. So people go to o2x.com/register. We'll send you our 8-week tactical athlete program that we use for training a lot of the heroes around the country.
That's o2x.com/register.
That's right.
Awesome. I'll make sure that that's on the show notes for everybody out there.
Great.
Awesome, man. And the reason why I'm laughing is about the technology stuff is because Adam and I were on – trying to figure out the audio on another platform for probably about 20 minutes before we got on. And we're opining about whether or not either of us were going to win any kind of intellectual awards.
Yeah, we're not putting anybody on Mars anytime soon.
Yeah, right? But you did go to Harvard, so that's pretty cool.
I snuck one past them, buddy.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was in a PhD program, and I ended up not completing it, but I was in a PhD program, so that's cool. Adam, anything else you want our listeners to know? Any pieces of advice or things like that that you want to send them off with?
I think, taking care, like I mentioned earlier, taking care of yourself, maximizing human performance, you can sustain it over long periods of time. And it is a little bit like a wave. You kind of hit peaks of performance and a little bit of troughs of performance, but small incremental steps, small victories every single day, whether it's, nutrition, conditioning, building resilience, lowering your stress, working on your sleep, all those factors overlap with each other. But small incremental steps, small victories every single day make a big, huge impact over time. And if anyone ever needs to reach out, O2X is always here to help. Kind of appreciate what you guys do, Chris. You and Andrew got great stories, and I'm kind of honored to be here today.
Oh, dude. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And one, I want to thank you for your service. And two, I want to thank you for helping those who helped to protect us. And I think it's amazing work that you're doing out here. I'm going to say this on air, you got to start a podcast, and I'll talk to you more about it when we're off air, but I think you need to start a podcast. I think that you'd be really good at it.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, to everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to this. We'll be getting all of Adam's contact information and contact information for O2X Human Performance on the show notes, and we'll get a link over to that 8-week program that Adam mentioned. You know, to all the first responders out there, thank you for the work that you guys do. I know you guys don't get a lot of good press lately, and your jobs are so difficult and so hard, and I think a lot of you are getting an unfair break by the media, but seriously, you know, where would we be without you? So thank you all for the jobs that you do. And Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.